Well, welcome everyone. Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening, and welcome to the IGO-INGO PDP Working Group on Red Cross Names call on the 14th of December, 2017. On the call today, we do have Heather Forrest, Stefan Hemkins, Thomas Rickert, David Maher, and Chuck Gomes. We do have apologies from Christopher Lamb. From ICANN staff, we have Barry Cobb, Dennis Chang, Marika Koning, and myself, Michelle DeSmiter. As a reminder, please state your name before speaking for transcription purposes, and I will turn the meeting back over to Thomas Rickert.
Thanks so much, Michelle, and hello, everyone. This is Thomas Rickert speaking, and I'm not yet in the Adobe room, I should say, so I hope the sound quality is okay, and I might need some help with managing the queue when we talk. Now, the purpose of this call is to continue with our work on defining what strings should go on a list of protected characters or strings for the Red Cross, Red Crescent movement. And there has been an informal discussion in Abu Dhabi where we had a couple of members of this working group sit together for an informal working group meeting. We made some progress there. And also there's a little bit of progress or, you know, a little bit of an update to give on the presentation about the status of our work that I gave to the GNSO Council. So the GNSO Council, when we reported about the progress of this group, had a little bit of a discussion about this topic. And what I can say is that council members have been quite clear that they would see an issue with a list that is not finite, and to make sort of this an open-ended process where people or where Red Cross, Red Crescent organizations can add additional strings as we move on. So I think this is something for our group at least to bear in mind as we finalize our recommendations. You will remember that we had two parts in mind, first of which would be the creation of a list that can be implemented by ICANN staff, and the second would be to come up with a formula where additions to the Red Cross movement would then get their names by means of operationalization of the implementation of our recommendation without the need for additional policy making. So I guess this is just a heads up. In my view, the feedback that we got from council should not prevent us from continuing to work as we did, i.e. work on the list, work on the formula, and then maybe we should just have two distinct recommendations, one of which would be on the adoption of the finite list that we're coming up with, and the second part would be on the application of the formula. So in case there are issues by council that, you know, these would be separated. Talking about the first part, i.e. the finite list, there has been some work going on, so we would like to thank Stefan and his colleagues for coming up with an idea of how we can actually categorize strings, how we can operationalize the protections per Red Cross, Red Crescent organization. And I've asked Barry before this call whether he would be good enough to, whether he would be as good as to show us through that table and explain the rationale behind it to this group so that we can hopefully make progress in adopting that syntactical or methodological approach to creating strings. Barry, over to you.
Thank you, Thomas. So I think most of the people that are on this call now were in Abu Dhabi for the informal session, so I probably won't be as detailed as I was during that time. I should also mention that, unfortunately, I don't see that Mason has joined either, but since he hasn't, hopefully he'll be able to catch the recording. So hopefully I won't repeat too much of what Thomas had mentioned, but I have just put into the Adobe Connect room two PDF attachments that were sent around late last week, which are kind of examples to help facilitate the discussions about this finite list. And I should say, I guess, a slight correction to what Thomas had said. Essentially, there's kind of going to be really three recommendations that are coming out of this group. The first one is really about the deliberations and ultimate outcome of whether the original PDP recommendation, which was 90-day claims for these Scope 2 names of the Red Cross identifiers, which have been agreed upon thus far in this working group, that those should be reserved or reservations types of protections. The second will be, what is this finite list by which staff can work on, in terms of implementing that style of reservation protection? And then, as Thomas mentioned, third is really this formula or kind of guardrails, for lack of a better word, on how future Red Cross societies can be implemented with the same sort of reservation protection. And these guardrails are mostly in terms of trying to, again, kind of define a formula by which a new society would be introduced for the protection and what the variations of that might look like. And one thing that I want to I'll bring this up towards the end after I review through these examples. So what you see in the Adobe Connect room now is an attempt to try to define a framework by how we create this definitive list of identifiers that will eventually be reserved. And the reasoning behind this framework is mostly based on what we've experienced already. As most of you know, once the new GTLD program was launched, there were a set of strings or identifiers that were temporarily reserved up until policy outcomes could be created by the GNSO. And in the implementation of those, there were some challenges as to exactly how they would be reserved on what is termed the Specification 5 list. In particular, it was, I believe, in late 2014, if I recall correctly, that the board had passed a resolution to temporarily reserve the National Society names as well, which at the time was 189. We're now talking about 190. And the reconciliation of the list that was provided to ICANN staff at the time, it was difficult to make a determination whether that list actually matched the recommendation that came out of the GNSO working group or not. And so it's based on those experiences on how we've kind of created this example framework, which ultimately will be the one of the final deliverables out of this reconvened working group. And as we posted in the email, from just a summary perspective, there's kind of three principles that we're hopeful this group will consider as this definitive list is being constructed. And the first is really, that it is truly reconcilable. The reason for this one is the past list that we were working from, it was difficult to determine in every case whether a particular society name actually was connected to its formal name. Meaning that there were a few, I believe that this group is determining as usual name versus its formal name, and it gets even more complicated or challenging to reconcile that, especially when we're dealing with identifiers that utilize IDNs or the formal name is in a non-Latin character format. And it was difficult to know whether this non-Latin character identifier was indeed attached to its English version of, or Latin character of, that National Society name, that formal name. And so what you see in the Adobe Connect room is basically column zero. And that's really just an incremental count of each one of these particular society names. And I'll draw your attention more to page two. And I'll also unsync this so you can scroll back and forth. But column zero, again, is just an incremental count. We know that there are 190 national societies that have been formally created, and this is the first step in the reconciliation process. The second principle is really that this list can be validated, which kind of speaks to what I was just talking about, that the original PDP recommendation had mentioned that it was the English name plus its national language where that society lives or operates. And that's kind of where it became challenging, because that original list in some instances didn't really have an English name. And again, by no way does this example provide what the definitive elements are going to be of the variants for these either formal names or usual names. But as part of making this this reconciliation process and being able to validate that they are all connected back to a unique formal name from just a reconciliation perspective. I'm probably not doing the best job of making this clear. And then really the third element is more to do with that they're free from errors. And one of the there was a small issue with what is currently implemented today on the reservation list, and I believe it had to do with one of the Russian society names. There was a carriage return in this older Word document list. And what ultimately wound up happening is, I believe, the more generic term society became reserved, when in fact it should have been the more formal name, the Russian Red Cross Society or something to that effect. I can't remember the exact details. But ultimately what happened is when these identifiers were formally converted into DNS labels, that's what ultimately happened. And so we want to make sure that we avoid this whenever this group gets the finite list of strings to be protected. So going back to the attachment that's in the Adobe Connect room, again, column zero is just this incremental count so that we know that we walk away with the 190 society names. Column one is the formal society name, which, again, is really more the reconciliation exercise, that whatever the number of variants that might be that this group will agree to for them to be reserved, that we can connect it back to that one formal name. Column two and three are eventually going to be the tangible component that staff will convert these formal and or usual names into the actual DNS labels by which registries can ultimately reserve. And you'll see that the way that a particular row is broken apart, again, that it connects back to an understandable version or an English version of that national society. So row one being the American National Red Cross, should this working group agree that American National Red Cross and American Red Cross are the appropriate variants that should be reserved, we draw that connection over. And then, of course, column three does the same thing of identifying, should the group agree that it, that a variant of the English version is the language of where that national society is located, then that also is defined in column three. So then I'll draw your attention to example for rows two or three, where Spanish Red Cross, there is also the Cruz Roja Española, that is further defined in column four, that is indeed the Spanish language that identifies the non-Latin character identification of the Spanish Red Cross. And so while at this particular time we are still working on what are the possible variants or options by which this ultimate formula will determine whether it's includes society or includes the plus whatever the group comes up with from the foreign language perspective, or however many that might be, the end result is that then, as I mentioned, staff can take columns two and three, put them into a single list, eventually run it through the algorithm that will define the DNS labels that eventually would be populated on the specification five list. And just two more points, and then I can we'll move on to the next example. Just back on page one, and the reason why page one is different than page two is that the protections that were identified for the International Committee of Red Cross, the International Federation of Red Cross and Red Crescent Societies, and I believe the other one is the International Movement of the Red Cross and Red Crescent. Those three higher level organizational names, and I do apologize to the Red Cross representatives if I'm not saying these in the correct designation, but these international organizations, at least from the prior working group, were afforded protection across the UN six languages. And so what you'll see here for row one for the International Committee of Red Cross, I basically had just kind of used this as an example of what exists out on specification five today. And the same reconciliation exercise can be conducted as you move from left to right. First, the number one is this is the first international organization. It is the International Committee of Red Cross. And then column two designates the formal names in English and in the UN five. And then, of course, column four is just to confirm which language those represent. When we get into row two as the example for the International Federation of Red Cross and Red Crescent Societies, this is an example of why it became challenging for staff to implement. And looking at the current specification five list, I believe that the International Federation of Red Cross and Red Crescent Societies are truly reserved on the specification five list, but there's no way for me to confirm or ultimately validate that all six of the UN languages have made it. And there is probably, at least for one or two of these, because this organizational name is very long in the number of characters, there is a chance that once you look at its foreign language equivalent, that it may be greater than 63 characters, or certainly once it is converted to a DNS label, that may extend it beyond the 63 characters. And for those who may not know, that is a technical limitation of the DNS label as defined from IATF specifications. And so the idea here is once we get to the final product and staff starts to implement this, that we'll be able to highlight which of those particular identifiers exceed that particular limitation and know or be able to connect back why a certain identifier didn't show up on the list. The last thing I want to say here, which is really kind of connected more to this formula that this group is discussing or deliberating on what it might look like, is that in Abu Dhabi, we made a brief discussion about the current IRT that is implementing the recommendations that the board did adopt several years ago. And it's the process for the maintenance of these reservation lists. In Abu Dhabi, I had mentioned that at the current time, the implementation review team, that process was in a generic form that the GAC chair would notify GDD, and that those lists, that if there were any changes or new additions of, for example, a society name, that they would be communicated to the GDD. They would essentially implement, and then once finalized, and there would be a communication that would be sent out to the registry operators to implement that particular change. That process has slightly changed now based on input from a registry operator, noting that the GNSO should also be included in that process. So while the policy language is still in flight from that RI, from the implementation review team, it does now include that the GAC chair or the GAC will advise ICANN staff and in parallel advise the GNSO of any proposed changes. And then if and once agreed upon, then it will be essentially upon GDD staff to make that change. And then once finalized, we'll send the communication out to the registry operators for implementation based on the terms of the registry agreement. So I'm going to pause here for just a second. And, yes, I wanted to see if there were any questions about this list before I move on to the next document. So, Chuck, please go ahead.
Thanks, Barry. In the case of countries where they have more than one official language, am I correct in assuming that column 3 would have more than one language for the national names, for the national societies?
Thank you, Chuck. I think that's an option that is open for deliberations on this working group. The original PDP recommendation was really just the English version, and was only went so far as to state it was the language of where that national society existed. It didn't really go beyond the detail of if there were more than one language for that particular country. For example, China might have two or three different designations. And so I do believe that that is an element or a component that should be deliberated on by this working group. And in turn, that does feed into this final formula, whatever that may look like, because it ultimately is, if there are future changes, once staff has already implemented this finite list, if there are future changes, we need to make sure that what that formula dictates will prevent ICANN from being stuck in a position of trying to interpret whether this new submission is meets the criteria of what this group ultimately comes up with. And so thank you for raising that.
Thanks.
Okay. I'm going to stop sharing this document, and I'm going to pull up an example that was provided by Stefan and the Red Cross representatives. This was also presented briefly there in Abu Dhabi. There's essentially three mock-up examples of national society names, and the intent here is to try to help understand their view on the possible variants of a particular national society name. The original version also included dashes in between the words that make up a formal name or their usual name. And I'll just remind everybody on the group is that for our purposes, we're really only concerned with the human readable version of a formal or usual name. Once the group has developed all the criteria of a possible variant of these names, whether it be formal or usual or language or the or society, whether all of these options should be or shouldn't be included, the end result is that we walk away with just the human readable name. Once staff goes to implement it, there is this algorithm that will then take that human readable name. It will collapse any spaces that may occur, and where a space occurred, it will also add a dash in between them. So, for example, American National Red Cross would come up as what you see here in row one, but would also be American-National-Red-Cross. Don't worry about any hyphenations in terms of looking at this particular example. And Stefan has gone back through and his team have removed those dashes. And again, when we get to the closer to developing this finite list, this example would really just be a human readable kind of name where American would be capitalized, space National would be capitalized, space Red Cross would be capitalized as well. And again, just human readable. I will unsync this so that the group can scroll at their leisure. Again, the first example is the American National Red Cross. The second one is one for the Society of Azerbaijan. And the third, which is still, I believe, Latin character script. And then a third one just as kind of a variation starts to get into some of the other foreign languages. And do note that where there's non-Latin characters and the conversion of this algorithm will convert many of these names to what you might see as a true DNS label, which would be XN-, and a string of random characters on how the conversion to an IDN label would look. So I think what's important here about this example provided by the Red Cross representatives is more into the detail of what kinds of variants should be acceptable or to at least help facilitate the deliberations of this working group as to what kinds of variants might be acceptable in terms of building out this formula. And so I think that pretty much kind of takes care of my overview. Apologies if I was a little bit confusing on some of the principles. I think as we start to get closer to formulating a finite list, the principles may probably become more clear. And before I turn it over to Thomas, I would like to ask Stefan to speak to his example that was provided here in case I missed anything, or if he'd like to add any additional commentary to the purpose of this. And then we can probably move in, which is really agenda item number two, to discuss the possible variants and formula. So please, Stefan, go ahead. And Stefan, if you are speaking, we can't hear you yet.
I'm sorry. I'm online. You can hear me now, I assume. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Well, good morning.
Yes, we can.
To everyone, and good evening to those that are in Europe. Thank you very much, Barry, for for explaining all of this. You're really becoming an expert, including on Red Cross, Red Crescent affairs. So. But yes, I to come back to the mock-ups that we prepared. What we were trying to do is to reflect on the initial criteria which this group was looking at. So I'll just repeat them because I'm not sure, Barry, that you went into that detail. But I initially what we had suggested, and I think this was also discussed when we were in Denmark. One was so official and usual names. So if you look at the American Red Cross example, so American National Red Cross is the official name of the National Society, and then American Red Cross is, as you will understand, the usual or what we, I think, refer to in Abu Dhabi as, commonly used names. On that, the intention, because I saw some of the exchanges that followed, there's no intention to blow this up out of control. It's not the idea. But I think, for example, the American Red Cross case is quite clear that, the National Society in this case is really known by, a usual name and not its official statutory denomination. If you look at the case of the Chad, the Croix Rouge du Chad or Chadian Red Cross, it's a little bit similar because the official name will be Croix Rouge du Chad, so Red Cross of Chad, but the usual name of the society is it's known by the name Croix Rouge Chadienne, which is the adjective in French. So, this is the logic of considering that, to reasonably encompass, strings that would replicate the name of the National Society as it is known, we need to extend a little bit, but it's not, the idea is really not to have, thousands of examples. The second criteria that we had was, but I know that this has, then since been discussed, was that the name should be protected both in English and in the national languages. And I think this comes back also to Chuck's question. The idea here is obviously, that we consider, to have the names protected in the national languages of the country in which the National Red Cross or Red Crescent Society is established. And so, in Belgium, for example, well, three official languages, then you would have the denomination, protected in those official languages. When I say official, I mean, recognized as state language. Then there is the question as whether, the protection should also extend to the name in English. Our initial proposal, and, we'd like to submit that to the group, is that the names be automatically protected also in English. I think there's a variety of reasons for this. One is, it also makes the exercise simpler also to monitor. But at the same time, because the English language is probably designed, potentially, to gain even more ground on, in the digital world, we feel that, it would make full legitimacy to have English. And of course, if someone wanted to fraudulently seek to register a domain name of a national society in a country which has just been affected by a natural disaster, for example, the likelihood is that they would do it in English so that you know, the fraudulent ambitions is best met. Then we had discussed the issue of with or without the article, the or the American Red Cross, American Red Cross Society. I think that was part of the points that we discussed when we were in Denmark. That is also for the group to make a determination. With or without the word society, this is also something that we had discussed. National societies, you know, sometimes they're called as American Red Cross or sometimes as American Red Cross Society. At least it's the case for many national societies. And here, you know, that criteria, with or without the word society, actually catches, you know, also the same question as, you know, formal name and a commonly used name, or, you know, official name versus a commonly used name. So, you know, that's something that I think, you know, would have some legitimacy, which is to protect the designated names, both with the word society and without. There is this question of, you know, protecting the name with the adjective or with the name of the country, you know, American Red Cross or Red Cross of America, or Croix-Rouge Tchadienne, Croix-Rouge du Tchad. In French, for example, there is really legitimacy to have both. So that is a little bit, you know, what these three mock-ups are intended to do. If you look at the Red Crescent Society of Azerbaijan case, you see that, you know, the name is protected in Azeri language as well. So this is where we're coming from, and that I will stop here. Thank you.
Hello. Thanks very much, Stefan. Barry, do you want to take over there?
Thanks very much, Stefan,
for your additional explanation. Let's see whether there are questions or comments from the group. Chuck, please.
I don't know if anyone can answer this, but I understood that the GAC recommended the national name and not the official names. Is it fair to assume then that they don't think it's necessary to do multiple official languages and just it's okay to do the national language? In other words, did the GAC really consider that? It kind of surprises me that they would be restrictive and just say the national language when it's possible that it might be beneficial for multiple official languages where that occurs. I don't see anybody from the GAC on here, but does anyone know anything about that? Is it something we should go back to the GAC just to clarify that they are indeed satisfied with just the national language, even if that means only one in cases where there are multiple official languages?
So, Chuck, I guess we only have the information that Mary put into the chat, that English and the official languages of the respective states of origin were in the PDP recommendation, and the GAC advice was for English and the respective national language. I think we are safe to assume that the GAC didn't mean to limit that to one language, but that the national language should actually be the national languages that are in the respective countries of origin. Maybe somebody has a better idea. Maybe Greg even does, and he's next in the queue. Over to you, Greg.
Thank you, Thomas. Greg Shatton, for the record. Unfortunately, I don't have a better idea on that particular point of what was intended. I guess I would say, just looking at this individually, that I think we need to kind of get a sense of where there are differences between national languages and official languages, and which countries, that makes a difference. Overall, my tendency is to go to the broader list, even though my overarching rule is that reserved names lists should be construed narrowly. But I think the concept of the difference between a national and an official language. So, for instance, in Switzerland, I don't know, is Italian and Swiss German and French all national languages, and is Romansh an official language but not a national language? I don't know if we want to get into that kind of parsing. I was thinking that maybe we should only have the language, national or official languages that the society actually uses, but that could be unduly narrow and also require more fact-finding. So I would say overall with both lists, I'm fairly comfortable until we get to what I would call the permutations, or almost kind of misnomers, if you will, where you've got the included, where it's not actually used, or something like Red Cross of America, which, as a lifelong resident of the U.S., I've never seen it called that. Obviously, somebody could call it that, but somebody could also call it the Red Cross of the USA or Red Cross of U.S. Permutations get us in a slippery slope, so I'd like to stick to official, to the two names, that being the formal name and the commonly used name that's actually commonly used, and then put those through the national and official languages and English. That would be kind of where I would see the natural boundary. Thanks.
Thanks very much, Greg. I'm not sure whether Stefan or Mary was first, but let's hear Mary first, because she also wants to make a correction, I guess, on the on her previous comment in the chat.
Thank you, Thomas. This is Mary from staff, and indeed, I just wanted to put a correction on the record on the AC note that I put in. The quotes that I have in the AC room are correct, but I attributed them to the wrong party in reverse. So in actual fact, and this is for the record, the GAC advice that came out in March 2014, where we first got the specificity that it was at the time the 189 national societies, the GAC advice also said English and the official languages of their respective states of origin. Whereas the GNSO policy recommendations for Red Cross National Society names says English and the respective national language. So thanks for allowing me to correct that on the record, Thomas.
Thanks very much, Mary. So I guess that makes our life slightly easier. Stefan, over to you.
Actually, thank you very much. Stefan Hankins, for the record. I was going to, also clarify what Mary just clarified, which is, indeed, the GAC's advice, this is back in 2014 at Singapore, it says in English, indeed, and it also says official languages in the plural, because I think the intention is really to catch, the different official languages. Now, official, I think, was intended to clarify that, it's not every single language that is spoken on the national territory, but it is, the official language that is used in government circles and for, in official matters. So, I think that should remain the understanding. So if in Switzerland, yes, I believe it's four it is indeed four languages if you count French, German, Italian, and Romansh, then you would have four.
Thanks very much, Stefan. I guess it's for this group to decide whether we want to maybe try to take stock on this. I would suggest that the original PDP did mean the official languages when they spoke of the national languages. I think we wanted to reflect what we heard from the GAC at that point. So I would like to hear whether there are any objections to working on the basis of official languages. So I don't see or hear any. Instead, Chuck confirms that there is no objection from him. So let's take note of that. So I'm not sure, Greg and Stefan, whether these are new hands from you. If so, let's move to Greg first and then to Stefan. Okay, so Greg's hand is lowered. So is Stefan. Good. So I would suggest that we try to go through the Chuck is making a comment in the chat. Should we call the full working group membership on this one? Chuck, what I suggest is that we don't make this a definitive decision today, but we put that back on the agenda in our next meeting, and you know, as we do in the CCWG, for example, where we have the two meeting rule. So let's confirm it there to give those who are not present today the opportunity to chime in and object if needed. Good. Let's then see whether there are any further comments on this list. I don't see any hands. Barry, your hand is raised. Go ahead.
Thank you, Thomas. So, you know, I guess it's assuring that we've kind of got the language part nailed down. Can we perhaps expand on the articles as Stefan has, which right now I think I've kind of captured the society or of. You know, should there be kind of a formula, just kind of like how we done with the language, should we try to put some guardrails or definition around the use of articles? And I guess this really kind of falls more into the, or is at least has a connection with the common or usual name. Thank you.
Thanks very much. I guess the comments and the points that are jotted down in the notes section can be a helpful guide there. But let's start with the articles. Do we have any comments on the articles? So, Greg, go ahead.
Thanks. Greg Shatton for the record. And I recognize, even though I'm almost monolingual, that there are languages where articles are much more formally used or regularly used, and English isn't necessarily one of them. But I have a problem with kind of adding articles everywhere where they're not part of the usual or official name, but just deciding we're going to, you know, put the or la or whatever the article might be, and on top of everything, because I think that, you know, that gets us into the permutation business, and I'd like to, generally speaking, keep us out of the permutation business, especially in terms of natural language issues. You know, Barry maybe can tell us how the permutations might work when we get to the implementation, where it's kind of the machine issues of permutations, but I'm concerned that every permutation, you know, doubles, triples the size of the whole list, quadruples even. So I'm not a big fan of the articles unless the articles are in fact what's used, then there may be a question about whether we should have them without the articles. And if there is actual regular use with the articles, could consider it. I mean, I'd like us to have a bright line rule, but I'm concerned about an expansive bright line rule. Thank you.
Thanks very much, Greg. Do we have any further comments on that particular point? I think that during the last discussions that we had on this, there was no severe objection against having the article included as an additional string. So I thought I could sense a group consensus building that we would use both variations, including the and without the article. But let's hear Chuck now.
Thanks, Thomas, and thanks, Greg. I think Greg brings up a good point. I don't think we want an ever-expanding list of all possible articles, but it seems to me that the definite article, whatever language is used, is okay, whether it's used commonly or not. So I guess that part I would disagree with Greg. I think it would minimize the opportunity for mischief if we at least include the variations, as Stefan and his team has done here, with the definite article in the case of English, the, and in French, I guess it's la, and so forth. So I think that's the only thing I would differ with Greg on. I think that I don't think there's a problem if we restrict it to the definite article. I do agree with Greg that we don't want any possible article unless that's part of a commonly used name. Thanks.
Thanks very much, Chuck. So let's try to hear whether there are objections to using the definite article only. And be more precise in our recommendation on that point. Greg, go ahead.
No, this is Greg. I will just register my objection. It might be a lonely objection, but I will register it.
Noted. And this is just testing the waters. You know, I want to try to get a sense of what this group is leaning towards. So since there are no further hands raised nor any declarations of will using the possibilities of the remote participation room, I think that this group is leaning towards accepting the definite article in the English language that would be there, but not endorsing any further articles that could be offered. Okay, so let's take that as an interim result. I'd like to hear some views on common names or usual names, and whether you think that is something that we can work on or include. Chuck, please.
Sure. I have a question there. This is Chuck speaking. As long as we have a clear process for and objective process for determining what the common name is, I don't think I personally have a problem with that. But how do we come up with a way to objectively determine what the common name is? How would we do that?
I guess that's an excellent point, Chuck, and this is sort of why I'm asking the question, because if we want to endorse common names, we need to find a way to formalize that. Greg, let's hear you now.
Hi, it's Greg Chatton for the record, and I think my concerns somewhat overlap with Chuck's. As I indicated before, I'm concerned about things being listed that are not really the actual common name that is actually kind of commonly used, but are kind of misnomers or permutations, like Red Cross of America, which I guess if your syntax is non-English might just seem it's like it's the same as American Red Cross, but it's not in fact, and it's not a common name that I know of that is actually used by the Red Cross in the United States. So those sorts of permutations or rearrangements of the words that might be the official or common name, I would put those on the outside of the, and put them not on the list, but the actual common name, you recognizing that the formal name is often, you know, not the one that's snappy enough to be kind of used in on websites and correspondence and in fundraising and the like, that both of those should be, to my mind, you know, on the list without articles, but that's a different point.
Thanks very much, Greg. So we've reached the top of the hour, so we need to end this call in a moment. I think that we need to continue the discussion on this. I think it will be particularly difficult to come up with a I'm sorry, we have 19 minutes, so I'm sorry, I was jumping the gun here. So I guess what we need to further discuss is how we deal with the common names, particularly if we think about a formula that also allows for new additions to be reflected. And one suggestion that I would have to offer is to simply give all the chapters the opportunity to give one common name, basically, they suggest. So I guess that, you know, in the countries where the chapters are operational, they will pick the names that they actually use in the trade. And where, let's say, I think we have only two or three countries where it's possible to add new chapters, and they can then pick one of their choice. And we can even have some additional qualifiers in that, i.e. that those strings must include Red Cross or Red Crescent as part, so that we don't run the risk of having other names, unrelated names, being put on the list. So I guess the, you know, to cut a long story short, my proposal to you would be to consider that each of the organizations can choose a common name or add the name they commonly use to the list if it has these certain strings in it, because that would save us the hassle of coming up with a formula to generate common names which might be composed differently in different countries. And to answer to Chuck's question, it was my understanding that we want to limit this, in fact, to one common name. So the proposal on the table is one common name of the choice of the chapter, and it needs to contain Red Cross or Red Crescent. Stefan.
Yes, thank you. Well, I think that, you know, this is the proper approach, which is, you know, to ask the different national societies themselves, you know, whether the name under which they are commonly, you know, known by, you know, is different from their official name, and then to hand it over. I think the notion of saying just one it might not be the proper approach, but I, you know, if that's, you know, the unanimity in the group, because, you know, it might be two, but I can, it's not going to be thousands. It's not, you know, the intention is not to blow this up, you know, out of control at all. But it's, you know, it's to have an approach that, you know, makes the best sense. So, you know, but I, at least in regard to, you know, asking the national societies themselves to make that determination, I think that has full legitimacy because, of course, you know, in each context, you know, it might be a different situation. And there will be, you know, national societies that just do not have, just use one name and you know, won't even come forward with, you know, within any alternative for the commonality criteria. Thank you.
Thanks, Stefan. Greg?
Thanks. Greg Chapman for the record. I think a common name has to be common. And if, in fact, there is more than one name that is commonly used by the organization, and I'm putting aside languages because obviously there'd be one common name for each official language, assumably. It may not exactly be the same, translation. But I think that we should assume that there is but one common name. But I think we might want to leave an option for a second or a third to be listed, but with some demonstration that it is in fact common and commonly used by the organization as its kind of street name, if you will. And that gets us kind of out of the permutation business. It also, I think, emphasizes that generally there's an official name and a common name, but recognizing that there may be situations where, for whatever reason, there's more than one common name in addition to the official name, and will provide a pathway for that, but not just give people kind of a bunch of slots, because there is, I think, a tendency, if you tell people just list, give us as many common names as you think you have, and whether you use them or not, or other people use them by accident, or, you know, then, you know, we're just going to get some sort of, we are going to have a big list, and I want to avoid that. So I think we can recognize the idea that there is a common name or can be one, but not kind of give a default that there could be as many common names as one might want to put on a list. Thank you.
Thanks very much, Greg. And your suggestion got some support from Chuck, but let me ask you this. How would we determine whether a name is commonly used or not? You know, I guess the question that we will likely get from counselors will be, you know, what are the safeguards? Are there no volume limitations on this? Who validates whether a name is commonly used or not? Yeah, I'm not against it. I'm just, cautioning that, if you limit it, you can still have that requirement in our recommendation that only names must be named that that are commonly used. But I think it would help secure counselor support if we could limit that number.
Thomas, if I could answer, I would say first, I think the number should be limited, and not, you know, just presumptively as many as you can think of. But also, I would think that from point of view of showing a common name, and maybe we give them a free ride on the first common name, and only ask for proof on the additional ones. But I think the proof could be, for instance, use on a website, and not just once in passing, or in, you know, third-party commentary or something like that, but use on a website, use on a mailing list, use on an appeal or campaign, use on official vehicles or uniforms, or the like. You know, some sort of kind of, if you will, use in commerce. Commerce isn't quite the right term, but use in the field. And not just kind of on an accidental or one-off basis, but regular, so they might also ask for a declaration that this is an example and that this is a name that we regularly use to refer to ourselves, in addition to a formal name and the first common name which we got as a freebie. Thanks.
Thanks, Greg. I note that Chuck is supporting these ideas. Let's hear what Stefan has to say in response.
Well, yes, Stefan Hankins, for the record. I totally agree with what Greg said. Really the idea is not to multiply. I agree. It's demonstrating that, you know, it's commonly used, and indeed, you know, the website will very often give us quite a good idea of that. The logo of the National Society may also give a good idea of that. But in most cases, it will be Norwegian Red Cross as, you know, the usual name, and Norwegian Red Cross Society as the official name. That's really, you know, it's from, you know, my awareness of this, you know, this is really what we're looking at. The American Red Cross case is, I don't have many in my head, you know, where the official name is just something that is different from, the commonly used name, or, you know, with or without the word society. So I don't think there's an enormous risk. Frankly, not. But I agree that, you know, if we make a démarche with the National Society's concern, and, you know, what we ask them, then, you know, it's perfectly possible, you know, to ask them to legitimize and to justify where their usual denomination comes from. It's very legitimate. Thank you.
Thanks very much, Stefan. So it seems like there's no wish from more group members to speak on this. So I think that there is no objection to allowing for the addition of more common names, if there's evidence for those names actually being used. Greg gave some examples which have been captured in the notepad of the remote participation room, so I suggest that we keep those, and particularly since Stefan also thinks that this is a good and feasible way and that there's no risk of this being abused, I think that's something that we should capture for the package of recommendations or of one aspect of the formula. And I think that, America or American, and as you see in the example for the American National Red Cross, serves as a good example of two distinct destinations that are being used. Okay, so I guess that's good progress. Let's see whether... Barry, your hand is raised. Barry, go ahead.
Thank you, Thomas. I'm kind of maybe jumping the gun just a bit, but this is a little bit more associated with number three. And if you think that we're kind of ready to head towards that, I think I've got a couple of options, or maybe a minimal path forward between now and the beginning of next year, when we think that this group can meet again.
Go ahead.
Okay. So what I'm about to say, if anybody has any issues with this possible path forward, do chime in. But it does fall around about, kind of what the next steps are. As Chuck, and I think as Thomas followed up, you know, there's no formal decisions being made here, but I do believe that we're kind of starting to to define some of those guardrails about the attributes of possible variants. And so what I suggest is kind of a path forward from where we're at today to somewhere in January that perhaps offline myself and working with Stefan and his team, that we kind of we blend our two examples. So what I mean by the two examples is taking the variations that he's defined in his mock-up examples, and we load those into the spreadsheet that I've created for our final output, and we basically identify 5 to 10 national societies that have a spectrum of these variants, formal versus common or usual names, that have the definitive articles, and a couple that for sure have English as well as maybe one or two official languages. And we basically try to work towards creating this finite list that the council has instructed this group to do. But again, it gives us that cross-section of all these possibilities of the identifiers for the top 5 to 10 national societies. And I think based on what Stefan and his team have done in the past, we could probably pick those without necessarily needing to communicate with those national societies right now on a more formal basis. But once we get this small list or short list together, we can bring that back to the group to help reconfirm what these possible variants might be, and at least identify if there are any outliers that may make some in the group uncomfortable. And at that point, then we can start to approach, you know, more a definitive agreement or determining consensus around these attributes. And if that is a more acceptable path forward, then the step after that would be then to spend the time for the Red Cross representatives building the complete list of the 190 national society names. I think in the end, it will be important for this group to have all 190 national society names defined based on the framework that staff has provided, and that, again, it comes back to our principles of that it is reconcilable, free from errors, and that there's a connection, you know, back to the 190 national society names. And in parallel, when we get to that point, staff will be putting together a draft report that will, talk about the deliberations of the group, ultimately kind of the three recommendations that I mentioned at the beginning of the call, that, you know, the legal basis behind why the group thinks reservation protection is warranted, that there is this definitive list, and then the third, at least, you know, some kind of guide rails, not so much a formula anymore, but guide rails or guardrails of what, you know, possible attributes would look like for future society names being introduced. So I'm hopeful that if Stefan agrees that, I know we're running into the holiday season, but perhaps at the beginning of the year, we can get back together and turn around that short list for the group to deliberate further on, and perhaps maybe like the last week of, or the week of the 22nd or so, that when we can reconvene this group again to review through that example, and then we'll have a better understanding how long it might take to complete the full 190 should the group agree with the possible variant attributes. And so that would likely probably take us into February, maybe March, depending on how long it would take to complete out the finite list of 190 society names. Or we may get lucky that if the group is comfortable with the 10 or so short list, that filling out the remainder 180 won't, escape the guardrails, so to speak, that we could start to try to fast track that a little bit closer to get back to the council. I'll leave it up to the group to make that decision, but let me know if you think that's a reasonable way forward. Thank you, Thomas.
Thanks very much, Barry. I see Chuck's hand is up, so Chuck, over to you.
Thanks, Thomas. A quick question for Barry, and if I missed this, I apologize. I had a little interruption. But are we going to go ahead and reach out to the individual societies and ask them for their common names right away? And how do we do that? I'm fairly flexible there, but it seems to me if you haven't already said that, that's something that should happen right away.
Why don't you respond to that?
Thank you, Chuck. I was hoping to avoid it for just the short list to kind of, take our working examples that we have in front of us now to the next step to help this group liberate and confirm that they're comfortable with these variant attributes. Once we think that there is consensus around these types of attributes or the variants that might be created, then yes, the next task would be for the Red Cross representatives to move forward in formal communication with the various national societies to help complete that list. I suspect that that's not an easy task, but Stefan has his hand raised, so I'll let him speak to that and more closely.
Stefan.
Yes, Stefan Hankins, ICRC. Yes, thank you very much for the different remarks and Barry's proposal. I think this is what Barry proposes, a very good way forward, I think, is that we need to work together with staff, with ICANN staff now. And indeed, I think the idea of picking, 10 national societies as an example is a very good way forward. It will give us a better idea also of, exactly where we're heading. If we choose 10 national societies, we can even go through the exercise quite quickly, depending on which national societies we choose, but we can work all those through, ICRC and Federation delegations in the different parts of the world. We can also, for the 10, we can also go through the exercise of communicating with the national societies concerned and asking them, about their the official versus commonly used name that we can do fairly easy. We have colleagues in many countries in every region of the world, and they in very regular contact with national societies. So this we can do, and I think it's the proper way. And then we can bring back to the group, concretely how this came about and the outcomes. So I would be very much in favor of that, with early in January we touch base and then we define a strategy to move forward for the 10. Thank you very much.
And Thomas, you're on mute if you're speaking.
In fact, I was talking to my muted microphone. I apologize for that. I was thanking Stefan and yourself for the reasonable approach. I would like to hear whether there's anyone on this call who objects to following that suggestion. That does not seem to be the case. So why don't we then implement your suggestion? And I would really like, Barry, maybe you or somebody else from staff could send a little summary of this, a little bit more than the link to the recording and the notes, but just a little summary of this proposal to the list so that everyone is fully aware of what's happening, and then we're going to reconvene, as you suggested, in roughly mid-January. Okay, so Barry is confirming this in the chat, and that, I guess, allows us to adjourn even a little bit earlier. I guess this has been a very productive call. Thanks, everyone, for participating and actively contributing to this. I think we're on a good path to concluding this in the near future. So thanks, everyone, and bye-bye for today.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, everyone. Once again, the meeting has been adjourned. Operator Marvie, if you could please stop all recordings. To everyone else, please remember to disconnect all remaining lines and have a wonderful rest of your day.